Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No,
I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. It is the year she's ending. She's over. Is she over? Are we going to do the next 20 whatever days?
Well, I'm going to Australia, so I'm definitely
not that's happening.
I'm not doing
You're going to have like added days or subtracted days?
Well, I'm not doing December 12th, but I'm doing December 19th twice.
So, that's so funny.
I'm really just like, all right, this is weird. I don't feel like this is happening, but it is. And we're just going to go and it's going to happen. And
you and Jordana?
Yeah, we are going on our friendship honeymoon, courtesy of United, and their new flight from San Francisco direct to Brisbane.
Direct. So how long is that flight?
I'll check and get back to you.
Yeah.
But I actually have some cousins who live in Melbourne and they're going to come meet me. And it's going to be really cool. So
that's incredible. How many days are you staying total?
Seven nights.
Oh, that's good. That's perfect. That makes it worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be fucked from the time change the whole time. And Amanda, you're going to be taking over the morning announcements. Most important, like, I'm so excited to hear them because I was, because I'm fully like switched with the time.
Yeah.
It would not even have been possible.
No.
But so I'm excited to be a listener. This go around.
I mean, it'll be probably hopefully an easy time to do it because it's going to be like usually the, I mean, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'm not going to say it. I have learned.
Don't.
I'm not going to say it.
Just don't say it.
Diehards will know. Diehards will know. Before we get into the news today, which is a little bit rough, this is the first Monday where I am actually fully caught up on the White Lotus and we haven't actually dived into it. And I realize that you're voracious. Audience on Instagram probably doesn't get to hear you talk about it on the mic that much. Or do you talk about it at Betches?
We don't talk about it every week. And I wasn't on last week when they did talk about it. So
I think we should indulge. Okay, 6 minutes. It's 12:04.
Okay, perfect.
But I did see you tweet. Last night's episode was epic. I feel like so many paths opened for me about what could have happened, and it was just delicious. I watched it at 7 a.m.
Oh wow. So you were really
up. I wasn't
home
last night. I was at famous comedian Millie Tamara's one-woman show, Class Clown, which was epic, and then came home and went to bed and woke up and watched.
Weren't you also at like a light-up garden?
Yeah, I took myself on a little like...
You had a day.
My poor husband has been like working nonstop for 3 weeks, so I took myself on like... Where I was going was very far for me. So like I made an afternoon of it. So I went to the Lightscape at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden by myself. And then I went to dinner by myself. And then I went to Millie's show by myself. But I saw Ruby there. Ruby Karp was there, who's our video editor. So Betches supporting Betches.
You're an independent woman who don't need no man, like the conservatives would say.
Oh, no. I got lost in the subway and cried.
Oh, okay. Oh, fine. Okay.
It was a toughie. Subways on a Sunday is just really tough. And I think I just, you know what it also was that like, I think I've talked to you a little bit about, we're just going to catch up for longer than the 6 minutes.
Yeah, we are.
I think I've talked to you a little bit longer about a phase in my life where I had like really extreme health anxiety, which is just the polite way to say hypochondria. And it was like related to other things in my life that should have been going on that have since been addressed. But I used to always go to CityMD and be like, I have an embolism. I'm dying. Like something's happening. I'm dying. And I have had like chest pains for about a week. And just it got to the point where it was just like, it just makes sense as a normal, even non-anxious person to just go check it out. Because I was like, I'm around our coworkers who have young kids, even if it's RSV, I just like wanted to know. But it was like way more triggering than I expected just to be in that environment. And obviously the people are like, do you still take this medication? And you had 6 panic attacks in 2012. I'm like, no, it's like not like that anymore. Like, I really just think I might be sick. But anyway, everything was obviously fine, but I was already in like a triggering headspace. And then I went into one of those subways that was like, you know, the ones that are like real deep.
Yeah. Like,
and that just summoned down. a little bit of like, oh my God, oh my God. But I got through my very pleasant day date by myself.
And then also like the MTA, just, you never know what they're going to hit you with, especially on a weekend. So just,
yeah. And the cop presence is both unnecessary strong. In some places and makes it even scarier. Like it wouldn't have occurred to me to be panicked, like in this, just going through Park Slope until there's like police at the station.
But you know where there should be a cop presence? At the White Lotus in Sicily.
Perfect transition. Perfect transition. Thoughts and feelings from last night's episode.
Okay. Let me tell you. I literally started a Substack at like 11 p.m. last week so that I could put all my thoughts somewhere, because I was putting it on Instagram. And it's like, I'm not going to fucking like leave this here so we can go away. And it'll have a million people DMing me like, tell me your right Lotus thoughts. It's like, okay, we are getting some subscribers to this. So thank you to everyone who subscribed. If you want to subscribe, Sammy Sage says on Substack. And literally, I wrote like a thesis last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert until the next break.
There's so many different angles, but the one I do talk about some of them on At Betches, but the one I want to talk about here is the employment angle with the hotel manager, Valentina, and compared with Armand last season. So in this episode, the past two episodes, we've been sort of seeing that like Valentina has a crush on Isabella, her subordinate at work. And she had like moved around some people so that it seemed that she could, you know, so that men wouldn't be flirting with her. Mm-hmm. Then last night, we learned that Isabella, she like asked her to go for a drink. We learned that Isabella is actually engaged to one of her coworkers, and Valentina is obviously very upset. She's clearly like a lonely middle-aged woman who appears to be a lesbian, maybe bi, who knows, but like sexuality in, you know, definitely she's alone. And then, so Mia, the girl who's like sort of getting into sex work, maybe, she wants to sing at the White Lotus. And she essentially, like a week earlier, had basically propositioned-ish Valentina for sex in exchange for the pianist job in the bar. And then last night, Mia, like, you know, they go have sex. But Valentina gives her the master key in the hotel to go to a suite at her job. Like, so I wanted to talk about, like, so last time you saw, like, last season, Armand was, like, definitely doing, like, sketchy shit with his subordinates, like, having sex on the job and, like, taking the drugs of the guests. Mm-hmm. And now you have Valentina sort of, like, not quite going down that road, but like a little bit. And I feel
being reckless,
but like definitely doing a lot of like questionable things in the employment space rather than in the like relationship space. But I feel like because she's like a lonely lesbian, it doesn't get the same like focus as being an employment issue as Armand did.
Yeah, definitely. Because you're just sort of like, she does seem kind of harmless.
Right. But at the same time, when you think about it, like she's acknowledged that this person that Mia's like shouldn't be in the hotel because she thinks she was
like, here's the master key. There's one empty suite on the second floor. And I was like, is she just going to try all the rooms until she finds it?
Right. Exactly. Like, and this woman has already drugged the piano player. Like, she's not the most careful. So I just wonder, like,
there was a lot going on with Valentina this last episode.
Why wouldn't Valentina just go unlock the room herself?
My question is, after last night, is that, like, obviously the first season, the death was accidental. Do you think in this season, like, it's hurtling towards, like, all of these things heading towards another sort of cascade that results in an accidental death? Or do you think we're looking at, like, a murder? Like a spontaneous murder.
So based on something I read in Variety, there's going to be 3 people who die.
I have chills. I love this show.
And also in the first episode, Rocco says a few of the guests.
I think I'm going to go back and watch them.
Oh, you must. You'll pick up so many things.
Oh,
so
yay.
I'm not sure if Variety was saying 3 based on Rocco saying a few, or if like they know.
Oh, from I did see that it was confirmed that more than one. Yeah.
It's definitely more than one, but I'm assuming it's three. So I think there could be a whole range of deaths. Who even knows if they're all part of the same like storyline? One could be an accident. One could be, you know, a murder. They could still be a murder accident. Yeah. You know,
we're not just guessing like whose body was in the water in the opening scene.
But there's more. So we're guessing like whose body was in the water and who killed who and why. There's so
many
things
more episodes are there?
There's only one, but I think it might be 2 hours.
So
I guess technically like the normal penultimate episode, because last night's really didn't feel like a penultimate episode from HBO.
No.
It'd be like the first hour of next week.
Got it.
What parts are like most interesting to you?
I think the relationships part. I think the like Ethan.
The foursome.
The Ethan. What's Audrey Plaza's character's name again? It's just
Harper. Audrey.
Oh, the Ethan, Harper, Daphne. And the prosthetic dick guy. Their dynamics. I just love watching Megan Fahey. I think like what she's doing with it is like so fun to watch.
I agree. They're also my most favorite. They're also my favorite plotline. And then whatever's going on with Quentin and Tanya is also really interesting to me.
Yes.
But I agree. The foursome is
fascinating. It's interesting because I can't normally what's going on there. I wouldn't like to watch it, and I would cringe and get too much secondhand embarrassment or secondhand just sort of like social anxiety. But I mean, that's why the show is so good. For some reason, I love watching it, and I could watch it over and over again.
Do you relate to Harper?
A little bit, but I don't think I'm as – because Mike won't watch it, but I was like, oh my God, if you watch it, you would think – I think she's more unapologetically grumpy. I'm apologetically grumpy.
Right.
Yeah. When I'm out and about, I'm always like, yeah, I know I'm being a bitch, but I'm trying my best.
Well, it's funny because I feel like I have a lot of friends who relate to Harper.
Yeah.
And have shades of Harper. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's just who I decide to associate with.
No. But, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, she's a little ham-fisted about it, but like, yeah, but there's definitely times where, you know, Ethan responds a lot like Mike does. Like, he's never just like, can you just not? It's just like, yeah, the world's bad. Or like, yeah, that sounds like it wasn't a fun time.
Right. I think she was more ham-fisted in the beginning. Now she's a lot more fun.
But she was kind of enigmatic to me this last episode. I was also like, Ethan, I was like, why are you in such a good mood? Like, what just happened? It's interesting they decided not to show us this conversation that happened between Harper and Ethan's friend. What's the final guy's name? He's made like the least of an impression. Yeah. Between
he's
Harper
made the
and
least
Cam.
Of an impression.
Well, I just can't remember his name, but.
Oh, well, you see that they were at the end talking about a guy who was a dick, who Cam referred to as his best friend. I have a feeling that was the person they were talking about in the first episode where Harper made the joke, like, congratulate him on not getting disbarred. Because, obviously Cam's friends with a bunch of assholes who stayed assholes, and Harper's like, you know, my husband's like not really like this, but he was kind of like on the outside.
Yes.
And I actually have a prediction. I just made it. I'm back for seconds. It took me a minute to get from to this full point, but I feel like maybe Ethan is going to come out as asexual. And at first I was like gay or bi, but I don't think bi makes sense. Gay might make sense, but I also just don't think he is. And it wouldn't even be that interesting as much as like something else. Because it's not that he doesn't – I don't feel like he has attraction to, like, men either. So that's kind of my prediction with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I don't think that it's, like, going to just be, like, a fizzled marriage.
No, I don't either. I definitely don't either. I don't think that's where it's headed. Okay, we needed that. We needed that. We'll definitely we'll make a side time for that for next month or next time you're on, too. I don't think you're on next Monday.
No, I'm not because I'm going to
Because you're
Australia.
Not even
going
to exist on December 12th. You've got to figure that out. Okay.
I'm trying to watch it in the airport or something.
So funny.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right. I like to say on this podcast, we are going to even more be starting with dessert to start with something fun. But that means now we have to move on to eating our vegetables. And usually that means just a more substantive policy conversation. But today, these particular vegetables have been left to rot in an unregulated, malfunctioning refrigerator for a very, very long time. This month is going by slow. We have not recorded this podcast since Kanye West said on Thursday that he likes Nazis and Hitler. So as a refresher, he said, "I like Hitler. I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis, and I see good things about Hitler." This seemed to a lot of people, and to me, I guess, you know, represent something fundamentally different than from what Kanye West has been doing so far. Do you agree or disagree? And if you agree, how is it different? Like, did he break a social contract that exists? Obviously, he broke it earlier, but did he break a different one?
Yes. Yeah. Like, that was clearly a line, because most of the time people sort of dance around that sentiment.
I like Hitler. I love Nazis.
They do. It'd be like Western civilization, you know, that kind of.
You can't say that in Germany, I don't think. You cannot say that.
Well, sadly, we're not there.
Yeah.
At this point, this generation. Honestly, this was so – even as – I really don't even have the words. I still don't have the words for it days later. And I am hearing you re-say it, even though I've heard it now so many times, is still so, so scary. And it's just scary to think how many people are going to come out of the woodwork. I think it completely represents a departure. Now, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much – I just saw, you know, what people saw over the weekend, which is like, you know, people posting videos of small groups that are completely misguided about Judaism and about the history there and about the history of the Holocaust, who he gave kind of permission to. I guess the question is like, what is this? Like how big is this sort of like latent group of people just waiting for permission? And are they – is Ye their permission? I don't know how.
Coming from a different place.
Yeah.
And everyone has different. It's not just like, oh, you are inherently a Nazi and like you're just waiting for that gene to show. It's like, are you in the right place in the right time? Do you have your own personal circumstances? Are your friends, you know? And it's just, that's why it's so dangerous, because the more, think about it almost like that Swiss cheese theory of COVID, like the Swiss cheese theory of becoming an overt anti-Semite. And the more strong the scaffolding of that permission structure to maybe like even just feel slightly negatively or express, you know, take a step up in your dislike of the Jews is really, really, really scary. Just thinking about the history of the Jewish people, like I even said to friends, I'm like, what are they? Like, I found myself echoing that sentiment, like, what are they going to do? You know, like, what are they really going to do? And it's like, well, there's literally a scene of that in Schindler's List. Like, that's why people didn't run away. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
When we're talking about like the Holocaust wasn't the only genocide. It wasn't the only time. It's the biggest one. But it also wasn't the only time where people collectively over time got tricked into or agreed to this. So it's like, we don't even have to get too myopic about the Holocaust. Like, is this similar to the Holocaust? It's like, it's similar to any time that has led to a very catastrophic genocide.
Right, right. It doesn't need to even be Jews.
Or mass marginalization, like fucking internment, you know, like this stuff just happened.
Right. And it happens in other countries now. You know, it's still happening in other countries now.
I mean, one point I saw raised a bit over the weekend is just the histrionics. Like, why does Kanye think Hitler would not have killed and harmed his own family? Like, what impression is he under? What false history is he operating under? I guess it's just like has grown into so many narratives that people believe that are so, so, so far from the truth.
To put logic to it, to explain his thoughts, just I think doesn't even like matter. I think part of this is that he is going through some sort of like episode. Not that obviously it's not an excuse. Clearly, I don't need to say that. But like,
I'm almost like, if Kris Jenner wanted to shut it down, could she not? Like, this is a Britney Spears walked, shaved her head and walked around a gas station without shoes. This man is trying to start, is like saying things that could start a second Holocaust. Does he not have anyone in his life who cares enough or just is able to?
No, I don't think that the Kardashians
care. No, I just don't think they care enough.
Any genocide, but I'm also not like,
don't you fucking care
one.
About, do you not feel any responsibility to?
No.
I'm sure so many people have
Amanda,
been like,
do you
I
think
want,
the
no,
Kardashians
I
feel any responsibility based on anything that they've ever done. If anything, they have only ever proven that they are ruthless and will sacrifice literally anything, their own family, their own children, their own mental health, their own children's health at the altar for money and influence. And I just do not believe that there is any point at which like that family is going to step in and do shit for the Jews.
No.
And like the truth is, it's not just Jews. You see like a lot, you see the constant, I mean, we'll talk about North Carolina in a second, but a lot of violence has been happening towards trans people. It's not like just the Jews. It's like this othering. Mm-hmm. And it just always goes in like one direction. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, what can you do to stop it? Like keep voting so these people don't get actual government power.
Yeah.
Like just forever.
I'm furious at Elon Musk. I mean, I knew he was always going to bring Kanye back, but it's just, it is sort of satisfying. You know, obviously the House GOP judiciary had that Kanye Elon Trump tweet and Elon Musk was welcoming Kanye back and they were like trading like Bible verses. And it's sort of like, of course this was going to happen. Like if you could have just left him suspended, like you can't put the I love Hitler tweet back after it's out to 30 million people, you can't put that back in the bottle. And had he just stayed suspended, maybe this wouldn't have happened. And it seems like Elon Musk doesn't have any regard for like future harm that a person could cause on the platform. It's like, I mean, he is still suspended. He was suspended.
No,
after
he's suspended
that.
Again. Yeah.
He's suspended again.
He's resuspended again.
Since Thursday?
Yeah. He was unsuspended originally
when
he was unsuspending everyone. Then he tweeted.
Right.
That Jewish star.
Oh my God, I didn't even mention that. That's why. Yeah.
And then they suspended him again. But I don't think it's permanent. And okay, here's the thing with Elon Musk. Elon Musk is acting like none of this is purposeful when it is all completely purposeful, but it's like plausible deniability.
Yeah.
It's like grounded in plausible deniability. And he's saying like, oh, I'm a moderate, you know, 10% of the far right and 10% of the far left is angry at me. And 80% of the normal people in the middle who just want to laugh and enjoy themselves are happy and love me. It's like, first of all, you can't even fucking quantify that. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm, it's not true. And he knows what he's doing. And the fact that he's then using this to support the fact that he's like some sort of moderate is just, he is one of the
he is so
people.
Extreme. It is so crazy. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we know that, but it should be communicated more. You know, you and I were talking a bit before this, and we've addressed this on the podcast before, but I feel like just in the past 2 weeks or so, like my Twitter feed has dramatically changed. I don't see the same people. I don't see the same dialogue.
It just doesn't refresh.
Yeah, something. I don't know if those people have left or something has changed with the algorithm, but also for a number of reasons. I mean, you and I discussed last week and we made this change today that we decided to take the tweet of the day out of the newsletter, which is a big part of the newsletter because we weren't having an easy time finding tweets. And as Elise put it in the newsletter, we can't really in good conscience keep sending you to a website with Nazis on it. It just doesn't seem like it seems like it's winding down. And I was saying to you, and it seemed like you agreed, it's dramatically changed how I do consume information.
Well, I don't know that it's like fully changed my consumption habits yet, but it has made things harder. And like what I loved about Twitter was that, yeah, you get all your usual funny tweets and you get your, you know, news outlets, and you have your big reporters. But what I found so amazing about Twitter was that you could find like really niche groups of people talking about things that they're experts on and that are so interesting. And you find stories that you would never find elsewhere. I always found – I feel that I was able to get so much like – so much of an accurate picture on different communities and the way they react to things based on like replies and certain stories that focus. And then you see experts in various fields interacting. And it's just a place that you cannot replicate, although Post is trying. Hopefully it will work.
There were times where it was a real meritocracy of knowledge, not always, but when it was that, and when the right person with the right thread was able to sort of like have, you know, a commanding captive audience, when we could all find like the reporter in that area when there was like a shooting or something that happened, that's different. It's really hard to find individuals.
Even when they weren't viral, it's like, it was still there. People were still in the conversation. Maybe it wasn't what everyone was having, but there was so much to find. And like, you can't replicate that when there is no identity attached to people. Instagram, you know, because like, for example, Reddit, people talk, I would say, in depth in a similar way, but you don't know who anyone is.
Yeah.
So you can't like look at a journalist or an expert and see in their bio that they're a researcher at whatever school, you know. It's so, it's just like, doesn't,
and you can't like take a, obviously this isn't as important, but you can't like take a screenshot and share it in the same way.
Right. I mean, there's just a lot that is lost. And now I've found myself like going to check on certain people to see if like I'm missing something.
Yeah. I don't know if I need to like go back to like an RSS feed or something, but like I am missing, like I like to scroll for my news. And I need to find another way to scroll for my news because Twitter is not doing it for me. Because it like really, I don't know, it does something for my dopamine when I can like scroll and constantly refresh. There's still, you know, news outlets will probably always be on there. But yeah, it's the commentary. And it's like, I don't always read. Yeah, I will. I don't always read. Is there still a waiting list? I heard the waiting list is like taking a while.
There's going to be a waiting list, but yeah, but you'll get it.
I guess I can be more in the habit of, you know, I know some people really like the New York Times comments, but that's obviously a subscription and you don't have to have your, you know, name attached to it. You can just see, you know, Dale has this comment. It's not, you know, Dr. Dale from this place that has this credentials. And
right. But then you have to like read per article. What about just like the general place for the comments about everything?
Right. You have to really go looking for the information you want. Whereas like Twitter is, I just knew that something would come up on my feed that would like spark my curiosity, and then you could find an in-depth conversation. And I think somewhere will sort of fill in the void. But it is an interesting time. It is a weird kind of a transition. So finally today, we'll discuss the power outage in North Carolina. This is really scary. And for those of you who are there, I just can't believe you have to deal with this. I imagine just not having childcare. The schools are closed. It's dangerous. Nearly 45,000 homes and businesses in Moore County, North Carolina were left without power Saturday night. And this was due to an attack on multiple electrical substations in that county. So people shot at these substations, that is confirmed, and that cut power, and 35,000 homes still don't have power. I read that some might not until Thursday. It is Monday. This happened Saturday. I mean.
And it was preventable.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't, it was not a natural disaster, put it that way.
Yeah. The schools can't open, the traffic lights aren't working, and somebody did this. So there's a lot of discussion about who did this and why. At a press conference yesterday, the Moore County Sheriff, Ronnie Fields, said that the incident is being investigated as a criminal occurrence, obviously with help from the FBI. So they say they haven't determined exactly what motivated the attack, but locals point out that it happened at the same time as a drag show that had been the subject of significant protests. There was a woman that was posting, like, I know why this happened. They went and talked to her, but then they were like, it's nothing, but I don't know.
Sorry, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I was just coughing.
Oh, I wasn't sure. Okay. So I sent you that tweet from Caroline Orbueno, which had a theory about,
case in point of the conversation we just had.
Yeah. And so she's, you know, she's an expert, and let me just read her bio so I can give you a,
she's a
behavioral scientist. Yeah. And she tweets a lot about, you know, communication and, you know, disinformation. She's really, really interesting. And she had basically shared that it was in some sort of like, you know, white supremacist handbook, the concept of, instead of doing like mass shootings, shooting at public utilities and things like power stations, so that they're able to like disrupt, you know, people en masse more so.
Oh
than
my god!
With the mass
instead
shooting.
Of Jesus, instead,
as part of like protest, mm-hmm. in order to like cause civil unrest and potentially like they want to like start a race war.
Oh,
basically. Yeah.
So this is that like about, level. This isn't like a vandalism, like to stop the drag show. This is like culture war accelerant.
No, it's like chaos agency, Matt, and on a bigger scale.
Were you surprised that these substations are this like vulnerable that somebody can?
I know nothing about how like electrical work at all, so I have no clue.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe
zero.
Yeah. I mean, this is a serious crime. These people are in for whenever they do get caught. But if that is the case, I mean, it was so bizarre because then I read the sheriff was like, yeah, we went and we prayed about it and there was nothing to it.
Oh, they should join the Supreme Court justices mm-hmm. with their, you know, prayer lunches.
Yeah. I was like, maybe if we spent a little bit less time praying with potential suspects, we could find out who shot at this.
Thoughts
substation.
And prayers. Mm-hmm.
That is how we got light. That is how Jesus made the light.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that is our time for today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com.
Betches.